So as we launch back here into 1 Timothy tonight, we're in this sixth chapter. And onward with the instruction to the good ministers in Christ. And to wake you up, I know it's a Wednesday night, but can you imagine this is speaking to you, all you sweet ministering saints out here tonight. God help us, God encourage us on to truly adhere to the word, to sound doctrine. And as we're going to read tonight, that means wholesome words. God help us to feed. We always think about wholesome meals. This is the wholesome meal. The word rightfully divided. Verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now I read that, and I have to tell you, I think things are just a wee bit different in the eyes of man today, wouldn't you? I think about how God is encouraging us here. Servants, count your masters worthy of all honor. Reverence, brothers and sisters, respect, homage. And not if you like them or not, not if you think that they're a respectable person or not, not that they even, if they deserve it or not. This isn't what this is getting at. You are honoring that position and that rank as unto the Lord. And as he's encouraging Timothy here, this is a testimony of our faith and love in our lives. This is our walk. Doing good to all men. Praying for all men. Doing good unto them that despitefully use you. You may have masters that do that. You may have ones that have been set over you. But isn't it God that has ordered your steps? And isn't it about winning God's very best? Isn't it about finishing with the full joy? Well, if we really do believe that we're just these sweet little lumps of clay that he's molding and making after his all complete and perfect will, then I believe he's got it all handled. I believe he's got before ordained good works that we should walk therein. I believe that everybody he's appointed and set in our lives by God's grace has absolute, incredible purpose and meaning for one thing, and that's to win him. The mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I do believe that. I believe that every breath he's about. I believe that every hair on my head he's into. I believe he's about my thought afar off. Amen? Praise God, he loves us, brothers and sisters. Think about how great you may have loved somebody in the natural, sitting next to different ones, some spouses here, and how beautiful and different relationships that we've had. That can't even compare. It can't even compare. And you think about the passion that God has allowed you to have, even with the love of God that you've had. But that still cannot compare with how he loves us. Praise his name. Now, this is the testimony of our faith, that God again orders our steps and does not make a mistake, and he puts over us whom he will. And you think about the world, and especially the world at this time, brothers and sisters, it is in absolute opposition to this. Absolute opposition, like no other time, like none other. We are encouraged, our kids are encouraged in their schools to question authority, to act up, to act out. If you are in disagreement with your employer, get a tent and get on his lawn. Oh, brother, you best not say that. I'm not being political. I'm preaching the truth. It has nothing to do with that. But it has everything to do with the word of God. And I will ask someone when they're doing these types of things, tell me, how can you do such things and have God's heart towards your master? And the answer is you can't. And the answer is you don't. And the answer is you're defiant in your self-will. Conformable unto his death. He's inviting you in. You got a real taskmaster? You really need to look to the Lord. You really need to praise and call out on him. God, give me a vision. Give me a vision, precious Jesus, of those stripes that you took for me. Thank you, Lord, that you've invited me into this. Thank you, Lord, that this happens to be part and some of my life, that I didn't bring the sufferings on myself. That makes my hair stand up. So many times I brought a lot of that on. How about you? Awful quiet. But I think it's so sweet, Lord, in your faithfulness, in your great grace, you brought me into something I sure didn't want to have anything to do with. But in your faithfulness, you have afflicted me. Praise be to God how he ties this all in over and over again. See, brothers and sisters, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And it's not just some of his ways, but in all of his ways. And that's James 1:8. And we know these things. And if we're going to try to pick and choose in things in the gospel of Christ, we're going to eventually be unstable in all of our ways. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You cannot compromise the scripture and go on to God's best. It won't happen. It's because the truth is the truth. And that sharper than any two-edged sword is going to cut right down to the intent of it. And he's going to reveal it. And God, I'll tell you what, as Brother David said, Lord, let's just get it done now. Search me. If there be any wicked way, come on now. I'm confident. Even if I don't know it, I know and I'm confident there is. Lead me in the way everlasting. See, that quick repentant heart. God, show me. See, the hardest thing, and I remember many times Brother Hill talking about different ones that he'd known throughout the years, and that they knew the truth, they grew up in the truth, and then they'd called him to their bedside, and the different ones that had cried out about wasting their lives. God, don't let that be me. God, don't let that be you. And but for the grace of God, there go I. I understand. It's just the grace of God, hallelujah, that holds me in that precious vein of that truth and love doctrine that's the greatest and most important and just the thrilling part of my life. But you see, brothers and sisters, that old devil, he's never changed. And he's working this, again, just like he's worked through the ages. And I'll tell you what, he's working it very effectively today. And what he's working effectively is to covet what the other man's got. Did you know that? Well, he shouldn't have more than me because that's not fair. Should I go get the TV? Don't watch that dirty thing. You can just read right here what man's going to do. And man's going to do it. Sinful man's going to do exactly what he said sinful man was going to do. A carnal Christian is going to do exactly what a carnal Christian is going to do. I don't need to go to that church to watch them do that. I can see it. And then those wonderful runners, I'm talking about those Philadelphia, those Philippian horses. Oh, they run for that finish. And God said, here they are, son, and here's what they'll do. Matter of fact, here's what I'll do in them. Praise be to God. See? So, see, brothers and sisters, you just don't get away from the word of the Lord. But see, it's far more than ones that'll even get up and say, well, wait a second. What do you mean it's not fair that I have more than you? I labored for it. I sweat and built what I've got. And I say, no, it's far more beyond that. It's the Lord puts up whom he will and the Lord puts down whom he will. Do you know that? And he does. And I he said in the word of the Lord, he says it rains on the just and the unjust. It says in the word of the Lord, I've seen princes walking and fools riding. I believe it's God's business. Amen? Amen. And if we get caught up into that, brothers and sisters, and you can see how the world pulls us into this. Jealousy is crueler than the grave. And it will eat you up. In a minute, we're going to the love of money is the root of all evil. And don't tell me that it isn't about the love of money if you're caught up into this. Because that's exactly what it is. I'm here to preach the truth. And people can think what they want. But there is no affiliation here. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a son of the living God. And praise you, Jesus, I'm here to preach the gospel of Christ. I don't want to be robbed in that. And you can get on either side of that spectrum, and you know what I'm talking about. Because you see it every day. You hear it, and that's all we're hearing. And that's all we're going to hear if the Lord tarry for this next 6 or 7 months. Get away from it. Flee that. Look up. Thank the Lord. Because man's just becoming more insatiable in his flesh. So brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, it's time to really start trusting God. It's time to really start to quit worrying about that other guy. To understand in our lives, brothers and sisters, that God has appointed these people in our lives. He's appointed people to be over us. See, that's why I said to pray for our leaders. That's what we do. We pray for them. I appreciate the military. And I'm thankful. And my dad used to tell me about it, being in World War II. And he did a couple different times that he enlisted first in the Army, and then the next time he went back in the Air Force. And he was telling me many times he had different ones over him that he knew that were not necessarily good men. He knew they were mean. They were abusing that position. But he said, you always honored the position. And you do. And you do it because it's the word of the Lord. Because God wants you to have a testimony that you trust him. Not that it has to be your way, but that you trust God. And it's amazing what happens, because what happens is he causes you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And you might even do good unto them that despitefully use you. You might even, again, turn that other cheek when they slap you. You might even bring, can you imagine, a cold cup of water to that boss that's just worked you over and over and over. But you're suffering for Christ's sake. Isn't that beautiful? There's nothing greater. There's no greater gain. And God help us to truly yield to this, brothers and sisters. Our day has not come yet. He's going to make known to all that he has loved you. And I'll tell you what, if you really enter into it, there's going to be a bowing down. I'm not afraid of that. He wants it. Praise the Lord. Bring me in. Hallelujah. Good stuff, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. See, when you look into Scripture, you look up, and all of this riffraff and all of these stupid opinions, they end up right where they are. Need to be, and that's in the trash. But you see, this is true ministering, saints. It says, servants that are under the yoke, count their masters worthy of all honor. I'm so thankful when I think about that yoke. Sure, I understand that I'm under that different one that might be my master at this time. And obviously, in this case, they were talking about even slaves, people that were really owned by different ones and things of that nature. But I'm even talking about our own work, where you still may feel you're owned by that person or whatever it is. But remember, I enter into his yoke. And his yoke, praise God, is easy. And his burden, praise the Lord, is light. Amen? See, that's what he wants you to do, is to understand, honey, you're in this with me. You're suffering together with me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm letting you enter into this most precious of time with me, that we're suffering together. Praise God. Amen. Understanding a little bit more about the privilege of the love of God in your life, that he's perfect, that you're wondering why, Lord, well, could I have a little bit of a reprieve? Do you think I could get one boss one day that might pay me a compliment? Don't give them eye service either. This is about the heart. Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen? Praise be to God. I'm so thankful the Lord showed me, even in ministering and being a pastor. I'm so thankful. This is not for the people. This is unto him. This is unto him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And then how powerful it is. Because the increase just keeps on increasing. Because that's the God we have. Hallelujah. But see, that's what this is. It's that true ministering. And this is even in this first verse referring to someone that doesn't believe, even an infidel master. But verse 2, it even gets a little bit more specific to saying a believing master. And can you imagine? Oftentimes we can even do better to a person who's an unbeliever than who's a believer. So he really reminds us here. And what he's telling us is that the believing master, don't be jealous of him because he's a brother. Don't be envious. Don't try to take advantage of him. You know what? He's got to run something. I've given him something to do. I've put him in a position. And I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters. Oftentimes, those in management and the ones that might be in that place tonight, it's not an easy place. Ask Brother Dean. I pray for you, brother. It's not easy. And so we do need to pray for one another. You know, God only knows the shoes. Don't you try to judge somebody else's shoes. God knows the shoes. But it says here to help him, do them service. And these things, as it emphasizes here, teach and exhort. And you ask, maybe why? Why does God bring this out so many different times in Scripture? Well, it's evident, brothers and sisters, that this world is fighting against us to be submissive to God. The enemy does not want us to submit to the Lord. The enemy wants us to be stiff-necked. The enemy wants us to murmur and complain and to tell God we want it a different way as opposed to that narrow way. Yes, that's exactly it. And God is reminding us, those that truly are seeking that place that he has for that readied wife in the midst of his throne, trust me, for I have appointed these that are over your life. Trust me, touch not mine anointed. Trust me, quit of yourself. Rejoice in that you are that little helpless lump of clay. Trust me. Amen. Amen. Receive it. Receive it. And praise God if you have. Thank him. And I don't know, could you even pray for a double portion? Brother Paul did. Heads went down on that one. My goodness. But God encourages. All right, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. It's amazing how fast you go down, isn't it? You wouldn't think this is much either, would you? Man, Lord, I go to church all the time, and I show up, and I go here, and I do this, and I do that, but I'm not going to submit. Listen, God, help us to yield. Lord, encourage my heart that your word, not only does it mean something, it grows, and the word of your grace builds us up, gives us inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Praise his name. But see, the word, it always hits you square in the heart, brothers and sisters. Again, this is not something of eye service here. This is of the heart of God. God is encouraging us in sincerity, appreciating them is unto the Lord. See, what happens when we try to do this of ourselves, brothers and sisters, we've all been there. We fail. And then you get even more angry. Come on, let's just be honest. You get more mad. I tried, Lord. He's even meaner to me. As unto the Lord. And then you're gone. You're not even in that place anymore. He takes you away. You know what I'm saying? He removes you. In the name of Jesus, aren't you just... that faith is so immediate. That's what's so beautiful to me about faith. The circumstance, the situation on the outside may not have changed one bit. But I'll tell you what, my heart just took flight. And I'll tell you what, in the throne of grace, that room. There's no fear. There's no worry. There's no fret. There's no animosity. There's nothing but love and joy and peace. Praise God. So that's what he's encouraging us here. But see, when we buck up, when we're unruly, we're without testimony. And as the word of the Lord tells us here, we've left wholesome words. And I mentioned this earlier on, wholesome words is the same word in the Greek as sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is not in word only, it's in deed and in truth. Sound doctrine is a testimony, brothers and sisters. It's not just something that you store up as a dead sea. You're a sea of Galilee. It flows through all the time. I know people that know the depths of the gospel of Christ but are ashamed and afraid, really, to tell certain ones about it. Now, I'm not judging in any way, shape, or form. My heart is heavy. God gushed that out. Want people to grow up. I don't care if they mock me. You're looking for Jesus to come? I've had Christians look at me like that, like I was a nut. Pretty much Christians anymore. Yep, they believe in heaven. Oh, but that's a death thing and you're getting there. That thing about Jesus returning again, that was just a fairy tale. No, this ain't no fairy tale. This is the real deal. This is reality, brothers and sisters. And I thank God so much as he brings us in here. And this is his ministry. That it takes me out of all of the fairy tale and brings me right in the reality of it all. Praise God. But see, if we leave wholesome words, we grow sick. We grow weak. When we leave wholesome words, we get tossed in to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We live a life that's led by feelings and by senses as opposed to a life by faith. Wholesome words or sound doctrine means error-free. There's no error in wholesome words, brothers and sisters. And that's Paul's gospel. And Paul's gospel, praise his name, is error-free. And this doctrine, brothers and sisters, is for those that desire his best. And as God brought out a moment ago, it's a narrow way. It is a narrow way. And thank God that narrow way, it's all grace. We understand that. This is his leading. It's a life that becomes conformable even unto his death. And it's the life of him increasing and increasing in us, and our life continue to decrease and decrease. As the word of the Lord says, the outward man perishes, but the inward man renewed day by day. God strengthen me in that. Let that be my satisfaction. I'm so grateful, Lord, that it's another day closer. Not that, oh my goodness, I'm another day older and this part's not feeling good and that one's not working as well and my eyes are starting to get a little bit fuzzy and my back hurts and I can't sleep at night. Lord, you appointed me with that backache, didn't you? Praise God. I can fuss about it. Or I can embrace you, Lord, and say, thank you, Jesus, that before you set a star in heaven, you saw that time that we were going to sit together at that table and enjoy this. Amen? Amen. I thank God that his grace has caused us to get it. But if any man teach otherwise, see, I love that statement. Because this is bringing us right back into Galatians. If any man teach otherwise, he's bewitched. He is. Stunted. This is the preach no other gospel time, brothers and sisters. But if any man preach otherwise, it says here in verse 4, he is proud. He is proud, knowing nothing. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. See, what happens when we withdraw from these things is we try to distort the gospel to fit our own lifestyle. We twist things, we turn them. And once you start to do that, nothing lines up because the line upon line will not happen. And sin begat sin, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it works that way every single time. a step away, we'll just continue to have another step away and another step away. I appreciated that about how Brother Hill used to talk about the compass and the ones that were flying the planes and becoming a pilot. I understand that very much so as a young pilot doing my cross countries and stuff, my first time alone in that little plane. I'll tell you what, I remember that guy telling me, he said, you make sure that needle's exact. Make sure that needle's exact. You're going to go out here about 300-400 miles, buddy. And if that needle is even a half a degree off, you're going to miss that point by about 15 miles. And at nighttime, when you're out in east of town and you can't see a light at all, you're going to get a little nervous. Make sure it's exact. Amen. Amen. And that's sound doctrine. That's wholesome words. God, and he does help us. He helps us. But Lord, let me want more of it. Let me endure, praise God, and praise you, and thank you for sound doctrine, and giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. It continues to build. It's not just, well, we're reviewing over and over. No, my goodness, brothers and sisters, he takes us into that chamber, and he shows us how endless it is. Like that one brother that could preach on the 23rd Psalm. And he kept preaching on the 23rd Psalm. Or keep preaching on John 3:16. It's endless. Endless. Because this is what's forever. And we thank him for it. Praise be to God. But you see, brothers and sisters, this is sound doctrine. Wholesome words. Rightfully divided truth. Withholding nothing. And it is something. It's very much something. It's everything to us, brothers and sisters, because if we depart from it, if you depart from these things, see, it's not, well, it's okay and nothing's going to come of it and, I'm just going to kind of go over here and sit down. When you depart from it, there's grave consequences. And this is what he's telling us in this scripture. He loves us, and this sin begat sin. And it does, and we know that. And as we've tried to go in our own unbelief, it gets uglier with every step. And here's the first sign that he tells us in turning from the Word of God. Pride. Pride. And he sees the proud afar off. It's not because he distanced himself from you, it's because you distanced yourself from him. Now, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. But we're talking about fellowship. We're talking about that walking and talking with him. Come on now. Knowing nothing, as it says there. Babes in need of meat. Doting about questions. That's a life that becomes unprofitable and empty. Read Titus 3:9. Strife, railings, envy, evil surmisings. And all I could say as I was reading this is, wow, Lord, your word is true. I've seen and experienced every single bit of this. And I'll tell you what, in these last 7 years, my goodness, and it hurts. It's the saddest part in a lot of ways of being a pastor. Is God will show and reveal things to your heart and have you come into these things. But brothers and sisters, the approach is the same way. It's just on my knees before the throne of grace. Lord, I can't do a thing. Preach the word, son, and pray. Praise the Lord. Now, see, when we see these ones that don't give honor to God, it is always amazing how the word of the Lord is always true. And the word of the Lord and his sheep, they'll never get away from it. They'll never get away from the accuracy. They'll never get away from the discerner of the intents of a man's heart. As we said again earlier, that's the sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is so similar to me to the departure of Romans chapter 1, if you read that. That regression in a life as you reject the word, as you quit being thankful, as you quit giving glory to God. I understand that speaking of the sinner, but I'm telling you what, we can still, even though we're a sheep of sheep, we can sure bark like a dog sometimes. And it's sad. But God help us to be encouraged in this and to understand, to preach this. And as brother said here to brother Paul to Timothy, exhort, preach this, teach this, son. This is divine truth. But see, it goes on to say that you're destitute of the truth. That means robbed of the truth. And I can just see the devil laughing at you when we go this way. Oh, I've got them fooled. And then it goes right into supposing there that gain is godliness. That's there in verse 5. From such withdraw thyself. Now, we know, and it's been very evident, and it's still pretty prevalent in some Christian circles, the prosper and be in health doctrine. That if things are going wrong in a Christian's life, what in the world did you do? You lost your job? What sin were you in? So sad. So evil. So often, I've heard in so many messages, flee that. That somehow that, you know, these ones that try to fleece people on TV. You know, you give and give and give, and God's going to give you more. Let me tell you something. You give joyfully, you give willingly. And let me tell you something. He's given you beyond. You're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I just love to honor Him. How about you? It's just the grace of God. You're not giving to get, brothers and sisters. When you got it all, praise God. Enjoy it. And that's what He wants you to do, is praise Him for what He's already done. He gave you everything in His Son. But this even means a little bit more here than just on the surface, as we've heard so many times about gain is godliness. This also means that a show of godliness is what it's all about. See, a show of godliness is good enough. I don't have to really yield my heart. I'll go ahead and quote some verses. I'll act godly, but I'll just be unruly to everybody else that I don't want to be very pleasant to. But I'm godly because I have a show of godliness. You got real quiet. You know what I'm talking about. It's not about a show of godliness. It's not about a show of anything. This again is a testimony of the heart, brothers and sisters. And when we're selfish, it's a sad time. And the Lord's putting a lot of emphasis on this. And we must again preach this and pray that, Lord, make us tender towards the things of God. Help me to be quick to have a repentant heart. Help me to want to receive the Word of God. Help me to believe it, that it works effectually in my life. That I'm not just going through motions. That I'm not just trying to be obedient. That, Lord, it's far more than that. This is Your life that lives in me. Praise God. It's grace. Causing me not just to be the person and the man that I ever thought I could be, but the man that, man, I'll tell you what, I never even imagined or saw to be, but He had that vision for me. Praise be to God. Now, verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember Mom saying that growing up, and it is so true, brothers and sisters. When you're content in the Lord, you've got everything. You're joyful. You're thankful. You praise the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. You get up and you know how rich you are. It's not about the things that you see with your eyes. It's about the things that you see, praise God, in glory. That we are rich, brothers and sisters. That, my goodness, hallelujah, my Father, He owed the cattle on 1,000 hills, you know. And as He's talking to them, but as He's even shown to us, oh my goodness, honey, what's mine is Yours. And it just blows my mind, but praise be to God. That's the contentment that we have as we get into the Word of God. But see, if you don't know the Word of God, and you don't encourage yourself in the Word of God, and you don't gather yourselves the much the more as you see that day approaching, this is going to grow dim. Things are going to distract you. Things are going to distort this vision, brothers and sisters. And we need to fight the good fight of faith. And faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And thank you, Jesus, that you've given us this bastion of wealth. I'm so thankful it is. It's an oasis in the desert that we come and we gather and thank him for this time, brothers and sisters, that we can be encouraged in the Lord, that Lord Jesus, thank you, God, that you're leading us into this promised land, that the ones that have been stiff-necked, they're waxing just like those bones did in the desert, but God, you caused me to get on down to the Jordan and walk across. See, you got to get low to go on, brothers and sisters. Low, low, low. That's what the Jordan means. Get down. Boy, he'll take you places when you get down. But verse 6 is so wonderful because this is such precious truth. The heart that rejoices in contentment and satisfaction of the word of God. It's the heart that says, Lord, you said it, and praise God, it's good with me. Lord, you gave it to me in my life, and praise God, it's good with me. Lord, you took it away from me, praise God, it's good with me. Because it's good with him. See, that's a wife. That's a readied wife. She's content. She's not setting out right there to start to try to change the guy. She loves him. He's right. He knows. I'm thankful to Jesus that Jesus knows. That's that precious Lord that we have. See, brothers and sisters, what he's encouraging us here is it's not about what I think. It's not about what I feel. It's the word of the Lord, and by grace let me rejoice. Verse 7 and 8, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Oh my, how things have changed. It's amazing that they dug up all of them tombs in Egypt, and they found that all those, you know, those poor slaves, even they buried in there with them. They didn't take them with them. All them jewels, the thieves got at, didn't they? They robbed it all. They took it. You're not going to take it with you. And thank the Lord that it's the things that are unseen that are forever. But again, this is so different than what is trying to be programmed into our minds in this day and age. You tell people with food and raiment therewith to be content, and they say, wait a second, you mean food and styling clothes and jewelry, a nice car, a house, a smartphone, leisure time, a benefit package, complete health care, retirement, etc., etc., etc. And then I'm content. Huh? Oh my. I look at this and I praise him because we live in the greatest time of faith. We really do. It's so beautiful, isn't it? Because the enemy is, and again, God has to allow him, is attacking like never before. Now, he hasn't come forth like a roaring lion yet. Know that in Scripture. But he has really been able to turn some things up at this time. See, man is growing more vain in their imaginations. Man is growing more vain in his own great cerebral strength, his prowess. How amazing I am with what I can create. You don't even have to do anything. You can just talk to it, and it'll turn off and turn on. You don't have to type anymore. You can just say the things, and there it goes. That's amazing stuff. It's like it's little magic. But I'll tell you what, it's attacking. And it is. It's attacking in a fierce, fierce way, brothers and sisters. But see, God is always the same. Jesus Christ never changes. Yesterday, today, and forever, it is always the same. And God has placed us in a time where I do not know of anybody that just has food and raiment. I don't know of anybody like that. Everybody has more that I know. Even the poorest of the poor in this country have more than food and raiment. And that's the challenge. Are we in heart content with food and raiment? Most likely we'll never be put physically in that place. I understand that. But has God, by his grace, taken you to that place? This and Christ, what one time more? I love her testimony that was preached here all of those years. But brothers and sisters, that's at that dinner table I told you about. Does he take you there in spirit? Do you bow that head and say, thank you, Jesus. You have done that. You've taken me into that place. Now, God may physically take you in a lot of places. He may have you actually go through it. But allow him to take your heart that way. That, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that it is that way. So I pray that we receive that from him tonight. And brothers and sisters, how wonderful it is that we live in this time, because I think it's a time of against all odds. And how wonderful it's just the place for a seasoned, weathered warrior, his readied wife, to come right on out of. Amen. Amen. All right, let's close it up with 9 and 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Isn't that something? You know, and the Lord is so perfect. And there's different parts of even this translated King James Bible that the Lord wants us to be encouraged in, to really seek and to search what it says. And as we start off in verse 9, I really want to emphasize the exact interpretation of this, or you'll miss what it's all about. Where it starts out there and it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation, it actually is translated, they that will to be rich. Did you catch that? It's not because you're rich you fall into temptation. It's those that will to be rich. It's very, very important. And I'm thankful to the Lord that God is faithful to his word, and that these things will be known to us. But see, it's not about what's going on out here in our lives. It's about what's going on in here. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we've been encouraged by a pastor over many, many years that had encouraged us many times over that God does not care about what you have. What he does care about is what has you. And when you will to be rich, it's very evident what has you. And it's very evident that it is the love of money. And brothers and sisters, I have been and had the opportunity to be in the money business for quite some time. That was the business that the Lord had me do for 18 years before he called me into pastoring. And I will tell you, I can testify that the love of money is the root of all evil. I can testify to you that the love of money, the root of all evil, is not a respecter of person. I can testify to you that I have met poor, very poor people that loved money and loved money just as much as some wealthy, very rich people loved money. It's not a respecter of person, and it is again them that will to be rich. Will to be rich. Now, brothers and sisters, that kind of life is something that's consumed in that. It can happen to a wealthy miser, and it can happen to a penniless beggar. But those that will to be rich are doomed. It says here that they're pierced through. That means to torture yourself even. And I've seen that destruction. I've seen ones that have gone after that money. And I'm thankful to God that he's protected me from it, brothers and sisters. And thank God if he's protected you from that. That protection is there. But that destruction, it's broken up marriages. It's neglected kids. It's caused jealousy that's crueler than the grave. And it goes on and on and on. Because it's a coveting. And it's an insatiable coveting. And the love of money is the root of all evil. Setting our affections on the things of this earth. Now, a lot of people that I've said that to, well, that's not money. Let's get that straight. You ain't going to have things without money. You can all tie it back to the word of the Lord. It's still the love of what those things can buy often. I know that there could be personal relationships we're talking about here, but I'm talking about your home. I've seen people get lost up in their heritage and, well, we built this and we've had this and this is how I define myself. My grandfather was so-and-so and I came from Chief blah and blah and all of this. And I'm not making light of that kind of stuff, don't get me wrong, but we're Christians here, brothers and sisters. That's gone. That died in Galatians 2:20. Do you know that? My identity is in Christ. How about you? It is. That's what's so beautiful. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We're one in Him. I don't need to explain, well, my best friend's this, and I go to church with all of these different types. No, I'm a Christian. Christ liveth in me. We are one. That's it. And I'm tired of wasting time getting into as this disputings and discussions and arguments and thoughts. That's just the enemy's work. We don't need to even go there. It's not insulting me. I say, don't insult God. You want to pick up that argument with me? You're not arguing with me. You're arguing with God. Because I'm not going there by His grace. And don't you either. Thank you, Lord, how you protect us. And I'm grateful to God for that. But brothers and sisters, this love of this money squanders a life away. And it's all the same. And it's not money. It's the love of money. Know that. How that is. But setting our affections on things down here, it all comes back to the Word. It robs a heart through and through. And oh, the sorrow that comes. And what we know, the sorrow that comes, is you missed it. You missed the best. You missed what God has. The loss that haunts a life. The phone calls I've had, brothers and sisters, especially some of them the past 7 years, because of the insatiable wants of this life. And the destruction it causes to family is as heartbreaking as it gets. Those disappointments when your whole goal in life is set in things down here and it doesn't go through, which most of the time it doesn't, it turns to arguing, it turns to drinking, it turns to turning to other people for comfort. Let's just be honest what all of this does. God, these are big red flags, brothers and sisters. People always say, well, I'd like to hear some application. Let me tell you something. The Word of God applied gives you all the application you'd ever want. And you can save yourself a lot of hurt, especially these young kids and couples and ones that have been married for some time. Get rid of the ladder. Get rid of the ladder. You know what I mean by that? You ever heard about climbing the ladder? Get rid of the ladder. It's wonderful to have goals and thoughts and dreams, but all under the hand of God. Don't let that define you. It's not about, well, I made my 10,000s, now my 100,000s. I remember that one guy I met. My goodness, he was a nice man. He's 86 years old. He was a billionaire 4 times over. And all he was looking for was the next deal. And I thought, man, how many times do you got to get it over the goal line? Matter of fact, he hadn't even reached the stadium because I don't think he even knew the Lord. Don't waste our life. Don't waste your life. Isn't it sweet? It's precious. I can testify that God kept me from myself. I don't know how He did it, but He just did it with His love. And I love to testify and to sing His praises. And I know it's just the faithfulness of God. I'm thankful that His grace can keep you. And it does keep you. And thank you, Lord, that we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid if we're a servant. We don't need to be afraid if God makes us a master. Because he's all in all. And he's able. And he'll perform and he'll perfect that good work which he's begun. He's already enabled you. If he called you to something, don't you know that he's already enabled you? I was reading about little Josiah, an 8-year-old king. David, just a boy. How could they rule being so young? God. There were some very old kings that never knew how to rule. Wicked as wicked could be. So let's trust God for one another. Let's trust God in our lives that he'll perfect that which concerns us. That our steps are exact, that they're perfect. That there's no coincidence. There's not, oh my goodness, this was a mishap. He didn't see this one coming. God, get me out of here. He knows our heart. We can cry out to God. I understand that. But over it all, Lord, have your way. You got a bad boss, you got a bad teacher, you got a bad coach. Nah, I withhold nothing good from you. Huh? Either you've had a tough week or you need more water to swallow that pill. We do need more grace though, don't we? We sure do. Now you know why he hadn't come yet. Huh? We ain't finished yet, honeys. We're not. I'm right there with you. And he's going to work this effectually. He's going to give us experience in it. And he's going to keep us in that furnace until we're right done. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.